This is Jody Apple.
Welcome to Are You Listening? Question. What's so bad about changing a prescription? The account that you are about to hear isn't science fiction. It's not fiction of any kind. It's true, and it's sad, and ultimately, it's infuriating. Rather than shock or scare you, my objective arises from nobler motives. I want you to see how changing something that was designed to be helpful can actually turn out to harm you. Rather than help people live longer and healthier lives, the changes you are about to hear affected people in a negative and life-threatening way instead. Consider this. In hindsight, Barb Wabenmeyer says she should have known something was wrong. Twice before, the Lee's Summit, Missouri customer service specialist had battled ovarian cancer, enduring surgery and debilitating rounds of chemotherapy that left her violently ill from nausea and caused her salt and pepper hair to fall out in clumps. When the cancer returned at the end of last year, Wabenmeyer, now 46, said her prayers and began the chemo process yet again at the office of a Kansas City doctor near her home. But things went differently this time. While the side effects of the drugs were noticeably milder, I was nauseous, but not nearly as bad, she recalls, the treatment seemed utterly ineffective. The cancer is raging now, she says. Her only hope is an experimental drug she soon will begin taking at the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland. Fully engaged in fighting for her life, Wabenmeyer never dwelled on the possible reasons for her most recent course of treatment having failed, until the arrest last month of Robert Courtney, the pharmacist who she alleges had supplied her drugs. On August 23rd, a federal grand jury in Kansas City indicted Courtney, 48, on 20 felony counts of diluting chemotherapy drugs delivered to the office of Kansas City oncologist Berta Hunter in May, June, and August of this year. Consider this. Mr. Courtney dispensed drugs that were far less potent than the medications ordered by prescribing physicians. One drug sample contained less than 1% of the prescribed amount. As they studied those samples, they found that the doses contained from 17 to 50% of the chemotherapy drugs that they were supposed to contain. 2 months before his arrest in August of 2001, this pharmacist, who in 1990 listed his gross income as $48,000, had amassed $18.7 million in total assets. During approximately the same time frame, Robert Courtney would, by law enforcement estimates, dilute 98,000 prescriptions for 4,200 patients. Greed led a respected man in his community to alter by diluting prescriptions that his clients needed to live longer, or at least to live better for a short while. What's so bad about changing a prescription? When lives are on the line, changing a doctor's prescription can mean the difference between life and death. Another question. What's so bad about changing God's prescription? Our emphasis could not be any clearer. Changing a doctor's prescription for chemotherapy drugs, even by a licensed and registered pharmacist, endangers the lives of patients who need those medicines to survive, or at least to comfortably extend their lives for a few more weeks or a few more months. How do you think God feels when someone changes his divine prescription for salvation? We don't have to guess. We only have to read Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. The language in that passage tells us everything that we need to know. Here's what it says. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Consider this passage. First, note this. Paul marveled. The word means to marvel, to wonder, to be astonished. It indicates not only astonishment, but irritation and rebuke. Paul was extraordinarily impressed or disturbed by something, and the context determines whether or not it's good or bad. In this context, obviously, we see that it's bad. Paul also notes that those people who were teaching this different gospel had turned away. They had a change of mind in allegiance. They changed their mind. They turned away. They deserted something that they used to follow. One translation actually renders the word as desert. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. That's the ESV rendering of Galatians 1:6. The usage of the term shows the gravity and intensity of the departure. For example, in Jude verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude verse 4 parallels Galatians 1:6. The Judaizing teachers in Galatia, by changing the gospel, turned away from and deserted the grace of God. That's exactly what is said of certain men in this passage in Jude. Notice also that Paul said this happened so soon. The term rendered soon here, or quickly in the ESV, comes to us from tachyos, a term related to our car's dashboard instrument, the tachometer. Paul's amazement was twofold. First, that the Galatian Christians deserted the gospel of Christ, and second, the speed with which they deserted it. Notice that Paul says they moved away from Christ. The Galatian Christians moved away from Christ. Those who are away from Christ must move toward Christ. Those who are in Christ must remain in Christ. But to be faithful, one should never move away from Christ. Yet, that's what the Galatians did. But they did not just move away from Christ. They moved away from the grace of Christ. Any move away from Christ is a move away from the grace of Christ. Notice also that they moved to a different gospel. They called it the gospel, but Paul identified it by what it really was. It was different. It means to be dissimilar in kind or class from all other entities, another, different. If it was different in any way, then it was not the same as the gospel that Paul originally taught them. And if it was different, then something not only changed, something changed for the worse, rather than something changed for the better. How do we know that? You can't make God's gospel better. If you change it in any way, you only and always make it worse. Notice, Paul said it's not another gospel. They called it gospel, but Paul makes it very clear that the new gospel was not the same as the original gospel. There exists no such thing as a new and improved gospel. If it's newer than the original, it's anything but improved. Paul also said that these folks troubled the Galatians. That word means to cause inward turmoil, to stir up, to disturb, to unsettle, to throw into confusion. The new gospel did not resolve the problem that the original gospel was designed to repair. No, it created a new problem, one that unsettled the Galatians and caused confusion. Though some might accuse Paul of troubling the Galatians, the gospel he proclaimed actually resolved man's sin problem. The Galatian new gospel just made it worse. Some also wanted to pervert the gospel of Christ. Those who perverted the gospel caused a change in state or condition. They altered something. The word indicates a complete and thorough change. What resulted, the new gospel wasn't anything like the original. No apostle had the authority to change the gospel. No angel had the authority to change the gospel. Anyone who changed God's good news would be accursed. And Paul repeated that last statement. Anyone who changes the gospel would be accursed. What's so bad about changing a prescription? That depends. Do you need it to live? Do you need it to live better? Will changing it make your health worse? Will an altered prescription kill you? You know the answers to those questions. What's so bad about changing God's prescription? Let's change that. What's so bad about changing God's gospel? That depends. Do you need God's gospel to live? Do you need God's gospel to live better? Will changing God's gospel make your spiritual health better or worse? Will a changed gospel kill you? You know the answer to those questions. Our first week of One Gospel, a study of Galatians, ends on a rather sobering note. It does not, however, whitewash or minimize anything that Paul said to the Galatian churches about the need to follow God's original gospel without changing it in any way.